Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles and turn to a very familiar passage of Scripture. Anybody that's been saved for any length of time, God changed my message late last night, while you were sleeping. God was dealing in this preacher's heart. I have a plan, something I wanted to preach. God said, time out, change your plans. This is what I want you to preach. Now, some of what I planned on preaching may come out in this message. I'm not really sure how that's going to work out, but this is what the direction that God has led in this morning. Psalm 23, turn to the 23rd Psalm. Psalm 23, you're familiar with it, and we actually taught through it in Wednesday night prayer meeting not too many awful weeks ago. I think it was like three weeks ago, we touched on the 23rd Psalm, and I argued with God just a little bit, but I try to be spirit-led. That's not spooky. I just try to be flexible in the hands of God. I planned on preaching out of Hosea this morning. A little bit of Hosea, a little bit of Jonah, but mostly Hosea. And I wanted to preach this morning on how to be miserable. Now, some of that will come out in this text, but God said, no, that's not the text. I want you to go to the 23rd Psalm. And there's a reason for that. It says in verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father in heaven, we call upon you now humbly. We're not demanding anything. You are the great God of heaven. And we understand this morning that you don't work for us, that we are saved by grace and we are called by God to be your servants. So Lord, we ask that you would just take the word of God this morning and minister to the hurting. Lord, mend those that are broken. We pray for anybody that's here that's not born again. We do ask for their salvation. We pray for every live streamer, everybody that's watching by way of live stream, every radio broadcast that is broadcast in different areas from this service this morning. God, we pray that your Holy Spirit would be all over it and you would speak to hearts and you would meet needs. Put this preacher aside. Hide me behind the cross. And we pray that this morning we would hear from you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'm thinking of the Goschels this morning. I'm thinking of Chuck. And all his problems are done. Amen. All of the turmoils of life, they're finished. His race is now run. And we're still here. If you followed along, if you come to Wednesday night, it's verse by verse. It's word by word as we're studying through the Psalms. And that isn't put on live stream. By the way, anybody watching live stream, we were off the air last Sunday morning. You already know that. Apologize for that. It's probably the best message I've ever preached. But it's gone. It's behind. You needed to be right here at Fundamental Baptist Church. And everybody that's here this morning, those watching live stream, man, we just want to hear from heaven. Amen? Amen. We want God to speak to our hearts. And God meets every single need. Amen. We've got all these people that have been in ICU in the last couple of weeks. We've got people hospitalized right now this morning. Everything kind of cycles in a New Testament local church. Did you find that, Brother Greg, when you were pastoring? Things just kind of cycle. Things come in waves. Right now, it's ICU. So look out this week, man. Make sure you're right with God all the way, right? And God meets our every single need. There are some people here this morning, I'm sure, that you're probably miserable. It might be that there's a new term that I've coined. I really think it's original with me, so I've said it about five times, so I get all the credit for it. Secular believers. That's the age that we're living in. Now, you know what that is? That's a carnal Christian. That is a believer that is born again. They're a believer. They've gotten saved, but they want the world. They want to look like the world, smell like the world, talk like the world. They want everything the world could give them. And that's the opposite of being the sheep that is described in the 23rd Psalm. You do not want to be a secular believer, because here's what will end up happening if that's where you're living. You'll be conflicted. You'll be confused. You are a conundrum. There's like Lot in the book of Peter tells us he vexed his righteous soul because he wanted to be that secular believer. Let me say this again. The world has nothing that you desire, that you need. The world has nothing that you should desire. We're not to love the world or the things of the world. We're not to love those kinds of things. We're to love Jesus. You don't want to be that secular believer. You'll be unhappy. You'll be wretched. You'll be a wandering soul in whatever time you have left here in this earth. Far better to know that you've got a good shepherd and he watches over you. And if you'll just be the sheep of his pasture, if you'll just be obedient to him, God is going to bless you. Man, you'll feed in rich pastures. You'll know what it is to have your soul refreshed and restored. You'll know what it is to live this life and you can be seated in the presence of your enemies, but everything's all right and goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. And the best part is you'll live in the house of the Lord forever when it's all said and done. So quit struggling like Old Testament Israel. Remember this? Israel said, we want a king. We want to be like the Gentile nations all around us. They all got kings. The Philistines got kings. The Amorites got kings. We want a king just like the rest of the world. And they kept pleading to God for a king. That king was never in the design of in God's plan for Israel. He wanted it to be a theocracy right from the beginning, right until the end. But you know what he did? He gave them their requests. And just like he said in the Psalms, and it brought leanness to their soul. Man, you don't want to be like the world. Don't be that secular believer, because what happens is the power dries up. The fellowship kind of grows cold, and you become indifferent to the things of God. And like Lot of old, you vex your righteous soul. It's just that constant rubbing and going against the grain. You're like that son of God that is out of place in this earth, but afraid and ashamed to turn his face toward heaven. You don't want to be there as a child of God. Let's look at that 23rd Psalm, Psalm 23. Enough said about the Psalm, about the introduction and the situation. Let's get right to the meat of God's word this morning. This is going to be light for some. It's going to be heavy for some. Praise God, praise God, praise God. I don't want to embarrass anybody, and I didn't use their last name last week when they got saved, but there's a couple here this morning they got saved in the services last week. There's a couple here this morning, they were down here at the altar last Sunday morning. In fact, the lady had to help me to my feet because my knee and my hip is hurting me so bad. And I told her, we were right here, kneeling at the prayer, and she knows this is true. We were right here, husband's right here, she's right here, and I'm right here beside them. And I said, now listen, now that we're done praying, I usually would help the lady up, but you're on your own. I got to get up on my own. And I started to struggle, and before I knew it, she was standing on her feet, and she had her hand on my arm, and she's helping me up like that. One of the most embarrassing moments of my life. I'm just thankful that everybody had their eyes closed, right? That's what you do during the altar call most of the time here at Fundamental Baptist Church. And you must have, because I haven't heard too many raspberries about it. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. It's called the Shepherd's Psalm. It's a beautiful psalm. I read it at every funeral, every committal service. It's good to be a sheep. It's good to be part of God's flock. It's good that I don't have to understand everything that's going on. I don't even need to know the mind of God in everything. I have a shepherd, and he doesn't necessarily share everything with me, but he's there to protect me. And the Bible says here, the psalmist David, and he knew what it was to be a shepherd, and what he's doing in this song. And God's people are a singing people, and the 23rd Psalm is a song, and David writes this late in his life, and he says, let me paraphrase, let me brag on Jesus just a little bit. That's what David's saying. Let me brag on my God just a little bit. And he says, I'm making a declaration and I want everybody to understand it. The Lord, he's my shepherd. Amen. He watches over me. And I want to say it again. It's good to be a sheep. And sheep, when Jesus referred to us as sheep, that was by design. That was of the Holy Spirit. Sheep are about as helpless a creature as there is. They don't have sharp claws. They don't have big teeth. They can't run real fast. As a matter of fact, a sheep, if he gets on his back when the wool is heavy, he's stuck on his back. He can't even roll over. Did you know that? Just kind of flails in the wind. A sheep gets out of sight from the shepherd and just gets over the horizon. He's lost. He has no sense of direction, no discernment. I'm a sheep. I need a good shepherd. I'm sometimes surprised at how little discernment I have. I don't think I'm wise, but in my flesh, I think I'm wise. Oh man, I've got answers and I know what to do. And then I'll come up to a situation, had one just this last week. What do I do? Yeah. What do I tell these people? Yeah, God, I need a shepherd. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. He personalized it. He's my shepherd and I shall not want. Understand this. I know you know this to be true. I hope you know this to be true. Jesus never disappoints. If you're someone that's been saved in the last month, and there are several here this morning, I want you to know that man will disappoint you. Man, your husband will disappoint you. Your coworker will disappoint you. The preacher will disappoint you. The church will disappoint you. But Jesus never disappoints. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You want to live the good life? Then you've got to live the God life. Man, you surrender to God. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Going to meet my every need. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, rich pastures. He provides for me and I eat good. God is good to me at every level. Right now, it's just Debbie and I that are at home. All the kids are grown up. All the kids are gone away from us. I'd like to tell you that all the kids never come grocery shopping at our house, but I can't tell you that much this morning. But I will tell you this. We almost got a half a beef in our freezer right now. Man, we eat good at my house. We eat really, really, we're to the place in life where God, if I'm hungry, I get to eat. When I was young and didn't have any money, I wanted to eat all the time and I wanted to eat everywhere and I couldn't get enough food and I didn't have enough money to eat what I wanted to eat. Now that I'm older, it's not like I got a lot of money, but man, God, you know, the storehouse is full. Now I can't eat what I want to eat all the time. Now I can't eat as much as I want to eat all the time. But I'll tell you, I'll testify to this fact. In life, my good shepherd has led me to green pastures. He's led me to rich pastures. And I know what it is to feed and to be nourished by God the Holy Spirit using the holy word of God. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. There's refreshment. If you're miserable and you're a child of God, you can go ahead and continue to be miserable. I'll tell you exactly what you need to do. Just do your own thing. Just do your own thing. And you'll get all bruised and battered all through life. And you'll face heartache after heartache. And it might be you haven't faced a lot yet, but there's a lot coming. Because you're doing your own thing. You want to be miserable? Don't follow the good shepherd. You want to be miserable? Don't eat at the green pastures or drink at the still waters. You want to be miserable? You try to find satisfaction in the water that this world is passing out. You try to find satisfaction in the wells of the world, and you won't find it in a battle. You won't find it, in a bottle. You won't find it in a pill. You won't find it in a philosophy. There's no satisfaction in the world. You will be miserable. You will be conflicted. Your soul will be vexed because, just like Paul said to young Timothy, as the young preacher, pastor at Ephesus, he said, you got to stand up for the truth because there are many that oppose themselves with their very lifestyle. That's a secular believer. They know right and they know wrong and they choose wrong. And they oppose themselves and it's a difficult time. But if you'll follow the good shepherd, you'll feed in green pastures. Come on in, the water's fine. You'll drink beside the still waters. You know that sheep won't drink from running water. Sheep are a fearful creature. But you get those still waters that run deep and they're cool and refreshing. Man, I thought of that a couple of times this last week in our heat wave of the Upper Peninsula. Man, we broke 80 degrees a couple of times. In the UP, that's something. Now, I said that jesting because we broke 90 degrees. And I wasn't a real happy camper for a period of time. Now I know why everybody who lives in the South has got a bad attitude. I figured it out, man. And I understand. Rich pastures, there's refreshment. God will meet your need. He always will. My God, he's given us everything. Look what it says in verse 3. He says in the third verse, he restoreth my soul. He revives me. He restores me. Lamentations chapter 3. How about turning over there real quick? Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 22. Restoration. You want to be miserable? Keep trying to pick yourself up on your own strength. You're going to wear out. You don't depend on God. You don't follow God. You don't know the rich pastures. You don't know the still waters. You don't understand what it is to have your soul revived and refreshed. And that's something that there's no words to describe. Man, when you're close to the Lord Jesus Christ and God is blessing, and it just there are no words to describe that. Now, the miserable sheep, the miserable Christian, he just tries to pick himself up in his own strength all the time. And some of us are a little tougher than others and have a little broader shoulders. And have some steel in our backbone, and we keep getting up, and we keep getting up, and we keep getting up. But Jesus said, you take my yoke upon you, and you'll find that it's light, and it's easy, and I'll take your burden, and I'll meet your need. He'll revive you. He restores us. It says in Lamentations 3 and verse 22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. You go on and you can read. There's some great thoughts here in this passage of Scripture. But every morning the Lord's mercies are brand new. When I was growing up, when I was a teenager, everybody in my family, my dad would ride me because I was not a morning person. And, you know, I had a hard time climbing out of bed in the morning. Dad didn't put up with it. And it was always a battle. And, you know, it was just a tough time. And I wouldn't be awake till third hour of my high school classes. I mean, I was that night owl. You know, that's who I was. Man, I'd done a 180 degree turnaround in my life. I mean, it started happening, it was about 40, 45, and I couldn't stay up as late anymore, and I started going to bed earlier, and getting up earlier, and man, I'm up at 5:30, at 6 o'clock in the morning, now I'm wide awake, and I'm ready to go, and I'm ready to go to bed at 8:30 at night, and my kids make fun of me all the time. You know what I found? The morning hours are precious times. Man, I'm awake before the birds start singing, and I hear them singing outside my window. They lift their voices to their Creator every morning. I open my Bible and God feeds my spirit and strengthens my soul, and I get prepared for the day. And very few times does the phone or the text message ding that early in the morning. It does happen because people know I put that prayer alert out by 6 o'clock, and so my phone is sometimes dinging. But hey, do me a favor and send those text messages the night before. That would help me a lot, all right, just so you know that. But I love the mornings because he restores my soul. His mercies new every morning. What a beautiful morning this morning. Amen. Then I woke up and I breathed that air, and I thought it was a heavy dew, but it wasn't. It was the smoke from the fires in Western Canada, and the haze was, but it was just a beautiful morning. God is good to the sheep of his flock. He's good to his people. Let's read on. I want to make this real quick. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. It is a righteous walk that we are called to. Proverbs 3 and verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord and he shall direct thy paths. I'm to live a life that brings glory to God. I want to say this again. If you're going to live the good life, then you've got to live the God life. The God life is the good life. He promises blessings upon those that are part of his flock that follow him. We've got a shepherd. For us to run off and do our own thing, you're going to end up miserable. Go ahead and do your own thing. Run from the shepherd. That's stupid. What'd you say John Wayne said? No cure for stupid. I like that one. I actually remember him saying that. That's one I've never used before. Here's the one I use. Life is tough. It's tougher when you're stupid. That's it. You know, that if you want to go off and do your own thing, have fun, man. We'll be here to help pick up the pieces. It's far better to follow the good shepherd. He'll provide for you green pastures, still waters. He'll restore your soul. He'll revive you if you'll walk in the as he leads and you walk in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I've been with enough people that have been on their deathbed to know there's a good God in heaven. Chuck went home to be with the Lord, and I promise you, it wasn't a fearful thing. Oh, there are times, and I've been with, you know, the body wants to, we have that self-preservation where you want to live, you know, and sometimes you struggle to breathe at the end. But for the child of God, death is sweet. D.L. Moody, as a matter of fact, he said that in his life story. And his son was sitting there by his bedside, and actually his dad looked to the window and looked up to the heavens and said, "Son, the earth is receding." Great preacher. He said, "The earth is receding. The heavens are opening. This is my coronation day." He said, "Son," as clear as a bell, he said, "Son, if this is death, it's sweet." I promise you this, Chuck didn't get to heaven, and the first word out of his mouth was not rats. Here's how it is for every child of God that's gone to heaven. "Man, I should have came a long time ago." I promise you. I'm telling you that with the authority of the Word of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, the best is yet to come. Oh, I got ahead of myself. Let's read this psalm. He says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." And by the way, a shadow can't hurt you. All right? "The shadow of death, I will fear no evil." That's future. I don't want to die right now, but the fact is, when I do die, and this is what the psalmist was saying, he's saying, when that day does come, I will, future, fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. For every crisis that you are going to live out in your life, if you'll follow the good shepherd, he'll be there for you, and he'll meet you in that crisis. And he'll carry you when you need to be carried. And he'll restore your soul. And you'll have those still waters to drink from and those rich pastures to feed in. He says, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Real blessings. Now, verses 5 and most of verse 6, that's about life. He says in verse 5, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over." I just shared this two or three Wednesday nights ago. This is the way it was done in the Middle East and in David's day. If I was invited to another man's tent and I was invited to have meal with him, to break bread with him, then I was under the protection of the host. And Jesus has invited us. God the Father has invited us. And it said, "And even if my enemy was seated across the way from me and was looking me right in the eye and gritting his teeth and wanted to get at me, he could do nothing." That's the devil. He wants to destroy you, your family, your children, everything that you have. He wants to take it all away. But when you're in God's flock and you're sitting under the protection of his tent, there's nothing he can do to harm you. He says here in verse 5 again, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." I sure do like the fact that fellowship in the Bible, often they bring food into the picture. I sure do like that. I can relate to that real well. "Thou anointest my head with oil," like a son of God, like a king. "My cup runneth over," more than enough. You'll find this in life. Those of you recently born again, if you'll walk and you'll live the God life, you will find this, that Jesus is more than enough. Not only does he never disappoint, he is more than enough. This is what David is saying. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Man, that's wonderful. If I'll just follow the good shepherd, if I'll not be bullheaded and stubborn and prideful and do my own thing, if I'll just follow the Lord, follow the Good Shepherd, man, he'll protect me, his rod and his staff. He'll always be there. He'll protect me, though my enemy is seated right there. And goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I'm almost done. Let me say this. I'm 66 years old. I got saved when I was 8 years old. Goodness and mercy has followed me all the days of my life. I have not always honored God. I have not always made right decisions. But I look back in my rearview mirror, in hindsight, I look back and I see the almighty hand of God in my life every day and every year. And he's protected me from myself many times along the way. I got a lot of issues in my heart and a lot of issues in my life. And I still do. You think, man, 66 years old, been a pastor for 43 years, you think I wouldn't sin much anymore? I still got it. That old Tim Rader is still inside me. That's why I need the Good Shepherd. Man, I know right and wrong. I know what the Bible says. I've been studying a long time. I have the Holy Spirit. I know when he's speaking in my life. I know right and wrong. And the fact is, I still need a Good Shepherd. I still need God's direction. I have so much vision for this church. So much, and not everything gets done in my timetable, but enough has happened. I know there's a good God in heaven. And I know he's still at work and at work today. Surely goodness and mercy have followed me all the days of my life. And then listen to what David says at the end. He says in the last few words of this psalm, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Can I say this? If you don't enjoy church, you might not like heaven a whole lot. And if you don't enjoy church, let me qualify it by saying this. If you don't enjoy church, it's because you don't understand. You just don't understand. We get to come to church. We get to honor God as a congregation. Man, we get to sing together. We get to support missionaries together. We get to celebrate the Lord's table together. We get to witness people being baptized together. We get to grow in grace together. David loved the church. Man, he said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And here he says it again. He said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a great God we have. I'm done. I just want to say this. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He restoreth my soul. Man, God is good to me every step of the way. Doesn't matter what's out there in the world. I have a shepherd. Doesn't matter how dark the last days get. I have a shepherd. I'm going to follow him. I'm going to follow the known will of God. I know the commands of Scripture. I'm going to do my best to honor him. And he's going to protect me. Goodness and mercy. Those of you born again just last week, welcome to the family of God. Amen. There's nothing like it on this earth. Nothing that can compare to the church of Jesus Christ. Man, those just growing in grace right now, just kind of getting it together. Man, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. And I don't mean a Bible study. I'm talking about the local church. Man, allow God to bless and grow and do everything he wants to do. And we're going to be a church of 1,000 people before this is done.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.